I was drawn to a place in the sun.
Good morning. It's 7:06, Monday, August 19th. And that means it's time for Mauitopia with your host, author, record producer, marketing genius, and all-around nice guy, Ori Kopelman. Good morning, Ori.
Oh, thank you. That was a nice introduction, Gary. Good morning, everybody. And we are here to talk about Mauitopia, which I'll read a quick definition. Mauitopia will be an ideal utopian society of the future, a first-of-its-kind place in the world on the scale of over 100,000 people, where thanks to technology, all of us have our survival needs met of food, clothing, and shelter, while pursuing our individual self-actualization. A place where we'd find true happiness by each contributing our unique gifts to the community. A place where we can all coexist in peace and harmony with no crime, and where we can all help each other grow and succeed. Mauitopia's free market economics will be based on regulated capitalism and make the island a real paradise. Maui truly no ka'oi. In Mauitopia, we all win as we serve the rest of the world as a model for the society of the future. And this morning, I have a special guest. I actually went to his CD release party on Thursday night, which was called Enlightenment, is the name of the CD. His name is Dr. Dreaming Bear. He's got a PhD, and he will be calling in a couple minutes. Meanwhile, I guess I will mention the fact that tomorrow night is a blue moon. I wonder if any people out there know where the term blue moon came from. I actually looked it up last night, and I'm wondering if you know if the moon is actually blue, if that ever happens, and if it's happening tomorrow night. But that's not related directly to Mauitopia, although the full moon in Maui, which last night it was close to full, and I sat at a beachside cafe, Kono's, and it was beautiful at sunset, seeing the full moon and the sunset, reminding me that Maui is, in fact, the best place on Earth. While we're waiting for our call, we will talk about Mauitopia some more, and I want to remind everybody that I ran for mayor a couple of years ago hoping to bring in Mauitopia into reality. And a question I had for any of you callers out there, I would like some advice. I was thinking about, well, last time I ran as Ori Kopelman, my full name, nickname actually, my full name is Orion Kopelman. And so for this time, I'm debating about either running on just my nickname, which is Ori, O-R-I, which last time I kind of ruled that out as thinking that's too weird, new agey, you know. But then I Googled Ori, and I am the only Ori on Maui. And so I'm thinking maybe that does make some sense. The other option is to run by Orion, which is my full first name from birth. It's not even the name I took, but it's a good name. It comes from, in Hebrew, it means my strong light, which was a good name my parents chose for me. I hope I haven't disappointed them. But it's also a very well-recognized constellation. Most people say, wow, yeah, I recognize the stars. So if anybody out there has an opinion, I'd love to hear what you think about whether I should run as Ori, as Orion Kopelman, as Orion. And I appreciate that. The phone number is 242-7800. Again, if anybody's out there would like to give us a call, let me know. Talk either about that or the blue moon. And what the heck does that mean? And why is it so significant that it's happening tomorrow night? I'm at 242-7800, and we're waiting for our call from Dreaming Bear, an author and extraordinary musician. And like I said, I had a very interesting time at his CD release party on Thursday night. We're talking about Mauitopia, or how to create an ideal or utopian society on Maui. And again, it's not a socialistic society, which I had a call earlier a few weeks ago saying, are you talking about communism or socialism? And I said, no, in fact, in my book, it specifically says, not that it's the best system in existence, but I think it's as good as it gets right now, is regulated capitalism, is what seems to be working, and that's the economic system under which Mauitopia will come into existence. Now, Mauitopia may not happen overnight. I'm totally accepting of that. It may take 10 or 20 or 30 years, but at the same time, it's never existed on the planet. Again, there have been small communities on the order of a few hundred that have put in place a type of utopian ideal society, but certainly not on the level of 10,000 or literally, we have 155,000 people here on Maui. I can't even think about trying to put it in place on the island of Oahu, which has almost 1 million people. Quite a difference in population. But here on Maui, we have 155,000, and I think it's a good size for putting in place a prototype of an ideal community. Yet it would still be significant since it's never been done in history before. And yet, Maui is a unique place that a lot of people who have come here say, yeah, I was called here to do something special. And I would like to be a part of creating something special. And in fact, one of the things that we had a show on earlier, it was about practicing aloha, because that is one of the issues that I believe make Maui ideal in terms of making it a utopian community or Mauitopia, is the existence of the aloha spirit. And we have our caller calling in right now. Is that our call? Go ahead, Gary.
It's Dreaming Bear. There you go.
Hello, Dreaming Bear.
Aloha.
Aloha to you. Thanks for calling in.
Always a privilege, brother. So grateful to be a part of what you're doing in the world.
Well, thank you. It's actually interesting that I had the website mauitopia.org, and it turns out you also have a website called Mauitopia. Dreamweaver? Uh-oh.
Hello, are you?
I don't know what happened to Dreamweaver.
Are you there?
I'm sorry, I guess our connection got a little bad there. My website is mauitopia.us, as in you and I.
Right, and can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, it's part of a bigger picture called the Lovolution Foundation, which is a Maui-based 501c3 non-profit organization dedicated to global transformation through individual inspiration, or what we like to call edutainment, which is education and entertainment all rolled into one. We do all kinds of wonderful concert experiences, multimedia. We produce books and albums that try to raise the conscious vibration of the planet, and letting Maui, of course, be the epicenter of inspiration from which we draw all of our efforts and energies.
Well, you had a wonderful CD release party on Thursday night that I was fortunate enough to attend.
So grateful to have you there, Ori. I know that, you know, this whole vision of Mauitopia, oftentimes when we try to bring in the beautiful energies of utopia, there's a dystopia that can linger, but it's so wonderful to know that when brothers of the vision that seeks to just let Maui be the true paradise that it is, as I was looking over your vision, you know, I really feel like Mauitopia is something that each Mauian can get behind as a concept. And if it's, you know, producing albums, if it's creating social change, whatever it might be, you know, we're in this together. So I'm just really grateful to be a part of it all.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that you say, and I say too, is that each person has a soul knowledge, a spirit knowledge of what it is that they are here to do. And if they just would contribute their gifts, that would help to create Mauitopia.
I think it's as simple as that. You're right, Ori. I think that once people do what they're born to do, the world lights up around them. And that's how you know that's what you're born to do, because something about your gift and your calling always make a way for you, even when there's no way. And they open a door even in places where there are no doors.
Yeah, and it's an amazing thing that happens. Actually, did you want to, since I didn't get a chance to introduce you officially, can you tell us a little bit about your history, since I don't have a bio for you.
Sure. Well, my name is Dr. Dreaming Bear Baraka Kanan. I have a past history of being a college professor. I taught philosophy and communication at Cal State Long Beach, and after a long career of teaching in academia, I thought, well, the world really wants to be my classroom. At least I felt like I had a bigger calling than just these four walls of a university. And so I began to immerse myself in the nature that is Maui. And there I acquired the beautiful gift of having lived off the grid for many years in Twin Falls in a treehouse, and began to write the poetry that I'm best known for now as Maui's Poet Laureate of Nature. And according to the New York Times bestselling author, Dr. Harold Bloomfield, I'm also known as the Rumi of the modern age, if you will, which is a tremendous blessing. But more than all of that, I'm just an authentic heart centered in the vision that each of us together can do something by way of mutual inspiration that will give the universe itself goosebumps.
I agree, and it was interesting that you talked about integrating many of the world's religions, saying that if we put in practice much of what they have been teaching, we will find some of these principles that make us successful as well as help us find our inner calling.
Indeed, there's a golden thread of truth, I like to call it, you know, about the perennial wisdoms that just pervade each tradition but somehow get lost on the bigger picture when we start to think about the divisiveness of religions and theologies. You know, my efforts are to bridge those gaps and to provide the filler, the common denominator between us all, which is the concept of love, which is so inherent in Mauitopia. You know, it's so vital and such a part of aloha and part of what we live here on the daily.
Yeah, I really liked your term, the golden thread.
Indeed.
And then, you know, the question, next question is in terms of, you know, because it's nice to be strive for enlightenment, and it's certainly peaceful when you meditate. But what do you do when you wake up from the meditation? I mean, how do you put that into practice? What do you start doing on a practical basis?
You know, Ori, I think that if there's a way for us to replace the word enlightenment with the word authenticity, ultimately, the new enlightenment is just being authentically you, 100%. That means not giving in to the peer pressures of being someone or something else, and certainly not following in the footsteps of former avatars and so-called ascended masters, but rather than instead accepting the invitation to be your own inner guru, as it were. And more than that, not to think of those sort of, you know, presumptuous titles of being anything other than an authentic source of existence itself, and that you're here with all the vehemence, all the power of that which created everything that ever was or ever will be, but simultaneously to know that perfection is not the goal, that enlightenment, that doesn't look like someone being perfect, but rather that enlightenment is simply you being authentic enough to know who you truly are and to express that. And that means in every moment, you know, when you get out of the meditation, when you get out of that Zen world, the life that we live is going to test us in every way possible. And the best one can hope to do is to be consistent in their approach to love, to be consistent in their approach to kindness, and to hopefully exude something of beauty.
Yes, and I agree with you. I like your emphasis on being the authentic self. I did a lot of personal growth work over the last 20 years, and I thought, okay, well, I should any moment become enlightened. And so I actually tried to walk on water on the Sea of Galilee in Israel, which Jesus did 2,000 years ago. And I thought, no problem, I should be able to walk on this water. What do you think happened?
I guess you had a little swimming session there.
Exactly. Thank God I know how to swim.
Well, if you went down to the Dead Sea, you might be able to float on it. But
you're actually exactly correct. You can definitely float in the Dead Sea, no matter what you do.
Exactly.
It's amazing. Yeah, but the point is, enlightenment may or may not happen. I'm not even sure it's valuable to strive for it, but it's definitely valuable to become your authentic self.
And well, you know, I learned that probably the best from a child. I know that you were at my concert the other night, but I spoke of this 4.5-year-old Israeli girl who taught me the greatest lesson of my life when I was speaking on the border of Palestine and Israel in a giant peace conference that was happening there. And this 4.5-year-old girl grabbed me by my pinky, and she told me that there is already peace, and all we have to do is love each other without shame. And I think that's the greatest truth I could ever share with this world, the truth of a 4-year-old, that we're already at peace if we could just learn to love each other without shame.
That's definitely a good goal. We all have problems that inhibit us from loving each other without shame. But it's so simple, really. And yet we're all human, and despite the fact that we may have learned a lot and practiced a lot, we always fall down. And so forgiveness is a really important concept as well, and that's definitely part of all the religions.
Forgiveness as a concept, I think, is probably one of the most vital, crucial concepts to the human ability to get past pain, past suffering, into the realm of compassion. Until you fully embrace your pain, you can't fully embody compassion, as it were. And more than that, this whole concept that we can have the ability to create what I call a mistake, you know, since you have to do it again, we got a mistake every now and then. And that word sin, when you look at it and its core, it just means a thing which disrupts the peace of your heart. Therefore, do away with it. Anything that's disrupting the peace of your heart, do away with it. But people tend to get caught up not just in judging each other, but more importantly, our biggest problem is in forgiving ourselves, getting past the initial impediment of letting ourselves be okay with the inconsistencies that we're privy to. As Walt Whitman would say, do I contradict myself? Very well, then I contradict myself. I am large. I contain multitudes.
That's a good one. When I, 4 years ago, got diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, I was thinking, well, what have I done wrong? Having done all this personal growth work, I must be doing something that is not in line with the divine. And that was 4 years ago, and I was actually in a wheelchair at the time. I couldn't stand up. And one of the things that happened, I was obviously very depressed, and being 46 years old, I was a state champion in tennis when I was 18 years old. So I've been an athletic person my whole life. I felt like this can't be true. I can't believe this. But within a couple of months, I made the decision to run for mayor, which I felt was one of my callings. And amazingly, I was able to stand up, and I've been using a walker ever since then, and happily I'm able to drive, able to do most things I would like to do, other than, of course, I'm not sure I'm going to be doing a marathon anytime soon.
Well, you definitely carry yourself with grace, brother. I know that you know, even in the midst of facing the physical challenges that you face, you are still your namesake. You are still Ori. You're still an embodiment of light, and I want to honor you for having the courage to walk that path, because it's a poignant path for the world to bear witness to see that one can go through challenges and still maintain a sense and a semblance of their beauty, of their abilities, and of what they're here to do, and to not give in to the sadness of disappointment, you know, that comes from having a broken body, and to know that you're more than that, and that to exude that, you know, what a beautiful blessing it is.
Oh, thank you. I guess you've gone through some of many challenges of your own.
I have, just physically as well as in every other regard, having, you know, been born to a Cherokee mother and a Palestinian father, sort of collected the heritage of displacement from both of those peoples, but also more recently having gone through a spinal fusion series where I've been in a partial paralysis situation, paraparesis, and learning to cope with being a beautiful being in a body that I can't get to work quite the way I want it to, but also understanding that there is tremendous amount of grace and strength and beauty that comes from accepting where one is and the beauty of what is in each moment, regardless whether it's laughter, whether it's pain, whether it's sadness, whether it's joy, to know that I am and that we are each, respectively, the source of existence in skin here for this experience. And to know, ultimately, that as the source of existence, we could never really be hurt. We could never really be wounded or offended because, as eternal pure love, we could never take anything personally.
That's a very good point, and you've done an amazing job in your own life based on what you've gone through, and like I said, I really enjoyed, actually, I listened to your CD all weekend, a couple times, actually, and I love your how you poetically go through all of the different religions.
Thank you so much. You know, that's the effort of a long time of just really hoping to find that golden thread, as it says, you know, to really find what is the thing, what is the golden thread of truth that really binds all these things together. And, you know, my efforts have been authentic, I can say that. They haven't been perfect. There are definitely gaps between me and my poetry, but more importantly, there's just the realization that every answer that I seek, every question that I have, can be found in nature. And Maui especially, Mauitopia's nature is the kind of nature that is alive, the aina, the effervescentness of each molecule and atom here. You know, it's what gives me the grace to do what I do, and it's what really inspires the energy behind each of the 8 albums and 10 books that I've been privy to be the author of.
Wow, that's very productive. I've only had 4 books. But either way, we're creating, right? I'm curious, how did you get the name Dreaming Bear?
Quite interestingly, my mom, being a Cherokee woman, she found herself to be a teenage runaway, and at the age of 15 was caught at truancy by a truancy officer, and they gave her a random pregnancy test, and she found out at the age of 15 that she was having this little bear. Although she didn't know it was going to be a bear at the time, they encouraged her to have an abortion at this truancy place. And they said, we want you to sleep on it, because a child shouldn't be having a child, they reasoned. Well, the night she had a dream, and in this dream she met a golden, what she described to me as a golden honey bear underneath a weeping willow tree. And this bear was made out of honey, and it came to her in a dream and said, you're going to have a child, it will be a boy, and he'll bring much beauty into the world. Do not kill this child. So based on that dream, my mother awoke, called my grandmother, who came and got her on the way home. It was actually my grandmother, Whitefeather, who gave me the name Dreaming Bear. She said, he came to you in a dream. His name will be Dreaming Bear. So having been given that spiritual name at birth was such a blessing. I didn't know it at first. I thought it was kind of a curse my whole adolescence. But as I became more of an adult, I began to realize that our name, the one that's given to us, is really sort of an indication of our destiny to some extent.
I agree
and
with you.
And I began to embrace the Dreaming Bear, as it were.
And I know you said you like to be called Dr. Dreaming Bear.
Dr. Dreaming Bear, Dr. Baraka. You could even just call me Bear if you want. But, you know, hey, we took the time to get those PhDs. We might as well enjoy the joy, the fruits of it.
Well, excellent. We're about halfway through our program, and this is usually where we play a little bit of music for a minute or two. Gary, if you have the Practice Aloha music, we play that for a minute or two and come back after the break. Is that okay, Dreaming Bear?
Awesome. I'm so glad to be a part of what you're doing here, Brother Ori.
Thank you.
Touches land, the light that's in the people's eyes, show love is in command. The scent of ginger fills the air, there's beauty everywhere. Look into our heart and soul. See how how much we care. Practicing aloha each and every day. We're guided by aloha, and kindness shows the way. Practicing aloha with the spirit of these lands. Practicing aloha.
Okay, we're here again with Dr. Dreaming Bear. And Dr. Dreaming Bear, do you by any chance have a sample of your poetry?
Certainly. Would you like a little 60-second excerpt?
We would love that. Thanks, Gary, for reminding me of it.
This is a piece called Holy Weeping Bliss. When we were the stars, when we were the sky, when we were the rain that turned ourselves into rivers and suddenly became the ocean. One love was all there was in the vastness of existence. It was when we convinced ourselves that we were separate from source. Separate from source. That the illusion of brokenness began. And my, how we have suffered. Pain so deep and lasting that even tears cannot describe them all. And a sorrow that we had never known before became us. But if we return to the stars, if we return to the sky, if we return to the rain, let our hearts burst into the rivers that suddenly break into an ocean. If we seek out the heart of everything in existence and kiss the feet of all that we have neglected, if we ask ourselves for our own hand in forgiveness, then we will be able to remarry ourselves to the presence of our joy, and we will not ask then, where is love? For we will find that we have been holding love in our very arms, as our very arms, all along. And Source will say, wild love, you've been talking out loud in your dreams again, but I dare not wake you. I dare not wake you from your holy, weeping bliss.
Wow. Wonderful. And you do
inspired, of course, by the beauty in Aina that is Mama Maui.
Yes, and you actually do this a really nice job of integrating that with your music.
I get the great privilege of playing a pretty rare instrument called the hung, made in Bern, Switzerland, invented in the year 2000. Sort of a UFO-looking instrument, but I like to call it ancient future music, if you will. It has that ancient, familiar tone, what's called the Hijaz scale, which would have been the same scale the ancient Egyptians were listening to, but that futuristic way of delivery in a sort of steel drum meets futuristic sound combo. Really an interesting instrument. I'm so privileged. I feel like it really took my art to the next level once I discovered that instrument.
Well, it's, pardon me for saying it, it's mesmerizing. It's definitely catches your attention. Actually, Gary, we should open up the phone lines in case anybody would like to ask myself or Dreaming Bear any questions or make comments. So the phone lines are 242-7800 if anybody would like to call in and ask either Dreaming Bear or myself a question or contribute a comment. Again, it's 242-7800. Thank you, and I know everybody's ashamed to call, but please feel free to call and contribute your piece to the Mauitopia radio show. I'm Ori Kopelman, and I'm talking to Dr. Dreaming Bear. And you've traveled quite a bit yourself, Dr. Dreaming Bear.
I've been privileged in this life to be able to let my gift and calling carry me to places far and beyond, many dozens of countries, many dozens of places in the U.S. and elsewhere, but always with the same intention, and that intention is just to give existence itself goosebumps, or at least the equivalent thereof, to make the Milky Way say wow, if possible, and to somehow hopefully inspire the source of creation itself, not just the people around me, but hopefully, ultimately, to inspire creation itself to be as beautiful as it can be through the simple effort of living the most beautiful possible version of life that I possibly can.
That is what we're here to do, that's for sure. And why is it that you settled on Maui?
You know, I have been quite a few places in this world, and after having traveled to, I'd say, at least two-thirds of the world I've seen, and there is no place on this planet. I lived in Greece, I lived in Italy, I lived all over the place, all throughout the best, most beautiful beaches you could find, but there is no place on this planet, in this world, where the Aina is so alive and so potent and so powerful. I like to call Maui New Eden, if you will, because it really has everything that Adam and Eve could have wanted, but all the infrastructure and so much more. And my life here began in a treehouse, quite literally, living off the grid in a treehouse in Twin Falls, a Formosa Koa tree, and learning and listening and just really being present. I feel like Maui has been my truest teacher in the sense that the greatest lessons I've ever learned have come from just going out in nature somewhere on this island and sitting in silence and saying to the surrounding trees, the surrounding rivers, rocks, what can you teach me? Teach me everything that can't be taught and allow me to say those things which cannot be said in words to this world in a way that will inspire each individual to remember how beautiful they are and why they were born and what they're here to give the universe back. And that's my hope, Ori, is in collaborating with people like you to hopefully touch the core of any heart who is hearing this voice right now and to say that you are more beautiful, more mesmerizing, more amazing than you've ever given yourself credit for if you would only give in to your true nature.
That is true and beautiful. You also do travel tours for people who want to come to Maui?
Mauitopia actually began as just that, a desire to get people to come to Maui to experience what I experienced in those first few years in the treehouse, which was the blessing of the Aina, the blessing of the spirit of Aloha, and all that the Hawaiian people have done to cultivate that energy on this island. So for the first few years, Mauitopia began as a edutainment retreat, if you will, where we would take people for 7 to 10 days and all throughout the island to see and experience and immerse themselves in the beauty of the Aina of Maui. And in that 10-day immersion, there were lives that were changed, there were hearts that were awakened, there were people that were getting a taste, at least, of what we get to live every day, this slice of paradise that we call home.
And actually, I had a somewhat similar story that in 1992, I was meditating at the bottom of the crater in Haleakala. I'd been on hiking it and meditated at the bottom, and which is about 20 minutes, and at the end of that, I had a very strong voice that said, make Maui your home. And I was living in California, I was happily living in Silicon Valley, and I really was totally surprised. I mean, I knew Maui was a beautiful place, but at the same time, I didn't think I could make it my home. But lo and behold, I in fact have made it my home, and here I am. I've been living here for almost 20 years now, and am proud to call it my home, and hope to show the rest of the world what Maui and Mauitopia particularly can look like.
Well, you're certainly doing that, brother. I want to commend you on that. You know, we have an obligation as Mauitopians. We have an obligation not just to be here and to intake and to immerse ourselves and inundate ourselves with the beauty that is Maui, but we have an obligation to share that as well. And so part of my endeavor is in taking the energy that's been given to me while I'm here, and by invitation to go out into this world and to share through concert experiences, multimedia edutainment experiences, a slice of the paradise with the rest of the world, and to hopefully give them a taste of what it's like to be in Mauitopia. We have a darshan unlike any other people on the planet. Mauians Malians have been gifted to the extent at which not only have we've been allowed to live in the most beautiful place in the world, but we've been given all the luxury and ability afforded any generation to make a real difference on this planet. And I want to commend you for having the courage to be the voice of that effort, to really give voice to what we're doing in this world.
Well, thank you. Right back at you, too. I just forgot the thought I had. Sorry. The joys of getting older.
Brain farts. They happen from time to time.
It had to do with Mauitopia, but I don't remember. Oh, the fact, yeah, I remember. Thank God. That thanks to the internet, we are able to show everybody on the planet what living in Maui and Mauitopia would look like. In fact, this show, as of within a few hours, will be available on the internet, and anybody anywhere in the world can listen in.
What a beautiful world we live in, where within moments of having spoken, the world's ear is attentive, or at least, you know, my hope was always, when I ask the universe for anything, I always say, give me a moment in life, in this life, give me a moment where I can have the whole world's ear, and maybe in those few moments I might say something that would really spark the heart of the world changers that are in waiting, those people who are just hiding out in the comfortability of anonymity and in the comfortability of being themselves, but not ever really giving themselves permission to fully unleash who they really are on this world in a beautiful, positive, profound way. And my hope is that somehow any hearts who are hearing this voice right now would be inspired, would be somehow rejuvenated within, and more importantly, that each heart would turn on that light, that aura within, and illuminate upon the world what they're here to illuminate, to do what you're here to do while you still can. What a gift we've been given to live in this place and to co-author a new tomorrow.
Agreed. It's a beautiful thing. I just forgot my thought again. This is interesting. It happened a second time. Oh.
When you're in the moment, you know, I remember, I really got my start as a poet when I approached a man named Ram Dass. He's a local Maui legend, but also a hero of mine. And I went to him and I said, Ram Dass, it's been a dream of mine to speak with you. And he said, well, I think we can make that dream come true. But before that, I asked him, I said, you know, I was trying to be clever. I met him. He wrote the book Be Here Now. So I said, Ram Dass, why are we here now? And I was expecting some silly answer. But he said something profound. He said, we are here now because God wanted us to meet. And you know, that really stuck with me. Why are we here now, Ori? Why are the rest of us here now? Because Goddess, the universe itself, wanted us to meet. Why?
Excuse me just one second. We have a phone call. So let's take that. Hello, caller. You're on the air on the Mauitopia Radio Show.
This is Chaitanya. I want to say good morning to you, Maury. Is that your name, Maury?
Ori, O-R-I.
O-R-I, oh, okay. And Dr. Dreaming Bear, it's such a pleasure. I had to clear my throat because I was actually crying after the poem that Dr. Dreaming Bear had read. An issue that really concerns me about Maui is the drones. I'm not going to say any more, but that there might be drones coming scares me. So if you might want to chat about that for a second. I mean, I'll be in the protest. I'll do whatever. Anyway, yeah, I love you guys, and I love my family.
Well, we love you too, my dear. Thank you for having an authentic heart and for having the courage to call in and encourage us to continue this conversation of consciousness. It's really an important dialogue for us to have.
Yes, and you're right, courage is important. In fact, I've been signing all my emails for like 20 years, may courage be with you, because courage is the ultimate virtue, if you will, that a lot of people think about things, but it takes courage to actually do it.
It takes courage to not be afraid to not be perfect. You know, people, especially when you start this path where you want to make yourself the most beautiful version of who you could be, we want to be perfect in that, but the goal is not perfection. The goal is consistency, and to continuously grow into the being that you know you're meant to be.
Yes. Do you have any comment to answer? I think it was Jitanya. I'm not sure how she pronounced her name, but her question about the drones.
I wasn't hearing the whole question. Could you repeat it to me?
Well, she just wanted to know if we had any comment about drones coming to Maui, which...
I see. That was what I missed. Well, my only comment would be this, that regardless of what's happening in the skies overhead or on the ground beneath our feet or in the oceans where we can't see, regardless of the subterfuge of the world happenings, our goal, our reason for being here is to hold a space with nature, with the Aina, with the land, with the life force of the earth itself, and to not be so concerned about those things that we can't control, but rather than to focus in on the things that we can affect. And I think the most important thing that we can focus in on is love, being love, giving love, and receiving love without conditions, without shame, without hesitation. Beyond that, I'm a poet, and I'm not really here to speak to the political harshness or the landscape of uncertainty, although those things exist. My center comes from knowing that no matter what happens, even if I were to die tomorrow, even if there were to be a catastrophe, that it would not be able to budge me from my joy. It would not be able to take me away from the center that I know is real, which is that we collectively are the source of existence in skin here for this experience.
We have another caller.
Such,
hello, you're on the air.
Oh, good morning, guys. I was just sitting here listening. And
what's your name, please?
At the beginning of the show, you know, Ori was talking about whether he should run for mayor as Ori or Orion, changing his name. I have a nickname, Stony, and some people call me Uncle Stony, and I actually ran for office not too long ago, and I was considering, should I run as Uncle Stony? I never did, but the thought crossed my mind, you know. Also, I wanted to comment on the Mauitopia. You know, Seattle and Colorado have recently legalized the marijuana, and I was thinking, gee, I can envision if Hawaii was to legalize the marijuana, instead of having these fields of sugarcane, we could have fields of marijuana, and then when they would burn it, we wouldn't have these people complaining about the sugarcane burns. They would have the marijuana burns, but perhaps they wouldn't burn marijuana. So, but it was just like the thoughts crossing my mind how to make things better, and I don't know if the marijuana would be more profitable than the sugarcane.
Probably. But then again, it's currently not legal in Hawaii anyways. And I've said this before on the show, is that we have to, even to create Mauitopia, we want to stick within the current legal system. Again, the laws are not perfect, and we have a process in our country for changing them. And unfortunately, sometimes it takes a little time to change them. And I went to an excellent movie last night on The Butler about the civil rights movement. And it took the blacks in the South, particularly, a long time to become equal citizens, not to have to sit in the back of the bus, as things that we take for granted today in the year 2013. But they took a lot of struggles for many years. And thank God we don't struggle for those issues. And hopefully we will not struggle in a violent or physical way, but we have to do that through discussions and a legal system that we have in place that, again, takes time. It's consuming and expensive if you hire lawyers, but we can affect change that way. And that's why I'm for sticking with the current laws, even though they're imperfect. Dreaming Bear, do you have any comment about that?
Well, I believe that legalization is inevitable, and that, as you said, there are processes to the legal system. You know, we are a litigious society, unfortunately, but I do feel that things that are illegal now are going to be seen in a different light ultimately. And again, my focus is not so much on laws and things of that nature, but really living an authentic lifestyle and really listening to my body and really listening to my essence and saying to myself, well, what's the best thing for me in this moment and what's the most appropriate thing? And I think that, you know, once we work within the parameters of a system, we start to realize that there are limits. And I don't like limits. For me, limits are annoyances. But I like to think outside of the box of limits and into the realm of infinite possibility, knowing that all things are possible and that in just a few years it's going to be a completely different world than the one that we're looking at right now. A completely different landscape than the one that we're looking at right now, socially as well as physically.
And yeah, I mean, you're right.
Still for a phenomenal future.
A good small example of that, again, not just about civil rights, but a little over 100 years ago, women in the United States did not have the right to vote. So there's an example of something that in a fairly short period of time, when you think about the length of history, has shifted. And in fact, not just the United States, but a large part of the world, women have the right to vote. Unfortunately, some small parts of the world still do not allow women the right to vote. But I'm definitely...
Corey, you speak of the civil rights movement, and that's you know, we've had the civil rights movement in favor of minorities, but my hope is that through Mauitopia, we can create a civility rights movement on behalf of all sentient beings.
That's...
Go a step further and make kindness and thoughtfulness parts of our everyday way of life.
Yeah, in a proactive way, right? That just
not just random acts of kindness, specific, intentional acts of kindness that go well above and beyond the call of duty.
Yes.
As if to say, how can I give my neighbor goosebumps?
Agreed, and that is how we go about creating Mauitopia, is one act at a time.
Indeed.
Gee, I met somebody at your release party called Yes, just Y-E-S, which I thought was really creative. And actually, that's one of the great things here on Maui, is that we have so much creativity and so many people who are not afraid to express their creativity.
I think people are creative geniuses in waiting. Each of us are geniuses in our own right. Genius means the genie within, and that's the part of you that can grant any wish that you could imagine. And each of us have that creative calling. Maui, specifically, is an epicenter for creativity, for powerful, empowered women to come, hence the goddess that is the Pele of this island. All the women here are so beautiful and so powerful and so in their center. But each of us, men and women alike, are being called into a more creative lifestyle. I think, dare I say, an artistic lifestyle that by its very nature beautifies the world around it.
Yes, and I agree about this idea of artful work, doing things that we are called to do. And unfortunately, it still involves work, but hopefully most of it is a joy to do, as it's something we are creating.
That's the opportunity to co-author the most beautiful possible tomorrow in this right now that we co-inhabit. And my hope would be that somehow, some way, that we might continue to find ways to collaborate that beautify our beautiful island and give the world around us, that gives existence around us, a reason to sing, to dance, to laugh, and just to be alive and happy with life.
I agree, even though it may end up creating a weird society where we're all just being ourselves. It's maybe very different than the places we grew up in. But on the other hand, that's why we're here in Maui. That's why many of us left the traditional mainland type of world.
In hopes of the fantasy island that is Mama Maui. Well, we found it. We found paradise. We found the place where we can be ourselves, but some of us are still holding back. My encouragement to your audience is that if you're holding back, if you've been holding back, if you've been keeping yourself at bay, unleash yourself. This is your time. This is your life. It's happening one heartbeat, one breath at a moment. And this is your opportunity to give the universe a reason to say Shazam, baby, in the way that you live your life.
I like that. Do you by any chance, since you're a very learned man, do you by any chance know about the blue moon, where that comes from?
The balloon moon?
Blue moon.
Blue moon. Well, there's a sequence of, you know, stories about the blue moon, and there's many different ways of looking at it, but is it one of those that's happening now? Are we in a blue moon?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, once in a blue moon. Wow. What a beautiful moment to be alive, and a poetic thing, too.
Yes.
And I think that more than anything, it signifies the rarity, the rare opportunity that we have to come together and to really find our purpose and to find magic in that purpose.
And that's a good place to end our show, since we have 2 minutes left in it, and we usually like to play a little music at the very end. So thank you so much, Dr. Dreaming Bear, for being on the Mauitopia radio show. And
it's a privilege. It's an honor. And I'm looking forward to how we might inspire the world together. Brother Ori, and to each of your listeners, I want to say a special mahalo. Check us out at lovolution.net or mauitopia.us, and let's change the world together. Viva Lovolution.
And I'm Ori Kopelman, and I'm at mauitopia.org. And thank you so much for listening, and aloha.
I was drawn to a place in the sun, where the ocean and mountain and sky are one. It is part of a much higher plan, Maui Man. Where the upcountry slides to the sea, and the rainforest waterfall shouts melodies. Under stars at night, he touched my hand, Maui Man.